When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to Tour Life. We are back from my trip. Yuli and me are, man, it's been a while, I feel like, since we've done one of these.
Yeah.
Big Germ jumped in last week, so shout out to Big Germ. Thank you so much for taking over last week. It seems like a lot of people did enjoy that. We have a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about this week, but before we jump into it, there was a tragic incident that happened very close to me and Kelsey out here. We were kind of following it just before the show on the campus of UNLV. There's still, you know, reports, it's very new, so still reports are kind of coming in. They're trying to figure everything out, but there was either one shooter or two shooters that were on the campus of UNLV. I think there have been not necessarily casualties, but injuries or casualties, because you never really know the number, but it upwards of like 26, 27 people. So it is a pretty massive situation out here. And I know some students that are at UNLV. I did reach out to them before the podcast and check to see if everyone was okay, which I think everyone is. So that's nice. But for those that did get affected by this tragic incident, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone. It feels like these shootings haven't, or at least I haven't seen any of this stuff in the news recently. But whenever they do pop up, man, it's just always, it always leaves like a really, it's such a weird, I don't want to get into too crazy on this, but it is a crazy thing to get to that level, to put yourself in that position. And, man, I don't know. It's never an easy situation, but I just wanted to, you know, if anyone knows anyone that was on campus that, you know, was impacted by this, just thoughts and prayers to you, your friends, your family, and all that. So just sad, but one to get that out there before we jumped into it, because we do have a big show today. There is a lot to discuss. This is Wednesday, December 6th, 2023, and we finally get an update on the Paul Macbeth lawsuit. It's been a while since we've heard anything from this. We're going to tell you all about what has gone down and what could happen in the future. We also hear a huge tournament sponsor announcement, massive tournament sponsor announcement. We'll get into all the details for that. The Disc Golf Network announces the DGN 2.0. That sounds sick. We'll let you know what that means. Player movement. We actually have players announcing that they're going places, and we also have a few rumors spreading. We'll see if Yuli has any insider information as well. We have two wild stories of the week. Both of them were crazy, so I was like, I can't just do one. We got to do two this week, and then as always, we'll be finishing it up with listener questions. But Yuli, we've done this before. Just to kind of let everyone know, YouTube was doing some weird stuff, so we kind of restarted this, but we'll try our best. Yuli, how's it going, brother?
It's good, man. It's been a good week. Had the week to myself. Sarah went to Arizona with her sisters and her family to have like a little family outing out there. Small little vacation. You know, the weather in Arizona is perfect. See Ricky and just do some fun stuff. And so I was home alone. I'm doing Vlogmas, which is a chore.
Yeah.
It's a big time chore. But with that, Drew Gibson and Simon came out to film with me over the weekend for Vlogmas, because they're doing it as well. So if you haven't checked their Vlogmas out, go check theirs out on YouTube. We're doing lots of fun stuff. I'm doing lots of giveaways in mine too. Here's a nice little stack that I'm going to have to send out here soon. Ooh. So yeah, things are good. But that's all I've been doing is editing and filming.
If you're doing the filming and you're doing the editing, Vlogmas is rough. It is super, super tough. I know me and Kelsey tried to do it one Christmas and we had one or two editors as well. So we were basically just coming up with the ideas and filming them and then just sending them out to the editors to get it done, which is a lot easier, but still like it's a lot of work, man. So shout out to you to putting that in. It's not easy. I know that for a fact.
Last night I went to putting league and I was like, okay, this is going to be the easy one. That's the whole reason I went. I'm like, I'll just be able to do a couple clips. Boom, boom, boom. I'll get home. Cause if you putt well, you're out pretty late. And, I get home after filming and I'm like, okay, this is going to be quick. And there was like an hour and 5 minutes of stuff that I had just gotten. I'm like, what is this? How is this possible? And so that's just the name of the game. You know it as well as anybody is.
It's a grind, man. It's
tough, yeah.
It's a grind, but yeah, I'm sure everyone appreciates it. So if you guys aren't checking it out, Yuli, Drew, and Simon all doing Vlogmas, go to their YouTube channel, subscribe, tune into their content. They're pumping it out every day, every single day. I have a little bit of update on what I'm doing this off season on YouTube. I'll get to that in a second, but I did want to run through our trip in Hawaii because it was a really, really awesome trip. It was really sweet. If you are looking for an awesome place to take a significant other, I think the Big Island's pretty good choice. It's way less touristy, I'll tell you that, from the other islands. It was the last island me and Kelsey visited. We've been to all the other ones, so we finally have checked them all off the box. But the Big Island, way less touristy, and also like the volcanoes over there, the lava rocks, it like encompasses so much of the island. So it's a very different vibe, very, very cool. But we stayed at a place called Mauna Lani. Super, super nice. Really great resort. Awesome pools, great beaches. They had some royal lagoons, royal pools, lakes, ponds, I guess might be the correct terminology, where like back in the day, the only people that were allowed to fish there were like royalty. So very, very, very cool. We got to do an awesome like snorkeling excursion. It was called Beyond the Reef. So you jumped into a canoe and paddled out and got to go into, you know, open water and see some very, very cool things. Got to see an octopus actually do its camouflage thing in real life, which is a wild thing. If you've never seen an octopus do its camouflage, TikTok immediately right now, stop this podcast, go to TikTok and search that, because it is a wild, wacky experience. We also got to cuddle some cows. So there's like a cow therapy place up by a falls that we went to, where you just pay, it's like $20. You get to hang out with the cows as much as you want. They'll literally just like, there's a picture right here on the, if you're watching us on YouTube, there's a picture of Kelsey right here where cows just literally have put their head in Kelsey's lap and she's just hugging this cow. It was a very, very weird experience, but she loved it and it was very cool. And also the cows do awesome work as well. They kind of remove all the non-natural, all this equipment that normally gets brought in to kind of maintain the land out there for a lot of these farmers and other people that own a lot of land out there. Now you can just throw 20, 30 cows on your property and they'll take care of it all for yourself. So very, very cool experience. We got to see a waterfall. Waterfalls are always freaking awesome. I'll never get bored of waterfalls. And I got to piss a couple people off on Twitter again, which is always fun. This time it was for golf. We went down there to play both of the courses down there, the north and the south courses. Very, very sweet. We have a picture, I believe, of hole 16, which was like a 220 yard shot over the ocean, which whenever you have a water carry hole, it's very cool. When you have an ocean carry hole, that's the coolest. That's the coolest hole. When you're hitting over an ocean, it's always super sick.
220 yards is deep.
Well, that was from the tips. So I played.
I played
from the blue tees because I haven't played golf in forever. So I was like, but when you get to a hole like that, you have to play it from the tips. It was on it's like its own little isolated island tee box. So I was like, I have to play from there. But yeah, I pissed some people off. A lot of people on Twitter that might have, you know, might be following me because of disc golf, or might be new followers that didn't know that I used to play golf a lot and dedicated my life to golf for about a year and got really good at it. A lot of people were pissed off that I posted my score the way I posted it. So now you know, there's a bunch of golf content for you on YouTube if you want to go watch me play some golf. Two things real quick. New YouTube series coming out. I'm picking four local amateurs in the Vegas area, and I'm going to be basically filming videos with them throughout the next month or month and a half, and giving them kind of lessons, playing with them course management stuff, maybe doing some like doubles battles, doing some stuff and getting them just better at disc golf. And hopefully you guys will kind of get better at disc golf too throughout this journey. Very excited. We had 13 people show up yesterday to like the tryout, I guess you could say. That video will be posted on my YouTube channel tomorrow. So a lot of cool disc golf content.
Is the tryout like, you're too good, you're not going to be in this?
Well,
it's like you're trying to just miss putts.
No, I mean, I want to try to have a good or array of skill level, right? So I don't want to have like all MA1 or MPO players. I want to have like some MA3 guys, some MA2, MA1, and then maybe one MPO guy, right? I want to have like a, so it depends. And we'll see. If you guys like a certain person, definitely let me know in the comments. Last thing, Yuli, you got a puppers, right?
I do.
Yeah. So you can, you know, tell me what you think about this story. So I tweeted about this earlier. So if you follow me on Twitter, you would have saw it, but I was running with Moose Man. Moose Man absolutely loves runs. Oh, you have a cat too. Look at that. Me and Moose Man were out on a run. We come around a corner and a guy is in his garage with his two dogs that are unleashed, not on leashes. Oh. And Moose Man, being the COVID puppy that he is, like barks because he barks. Well, first off, he's a corgi. They bark at everything. And secondly, he's a COVID puppy. So he didn't really have that much interaction with other dogs. And so he just barks. The first dog kind of jogs over in like a friendly manner, which was like, I think it was like a golden retriever, but the other one was like a little bulldog. And that thing was just like freaking charging. And the cardinal sin, if an owner ever says, oh, don't worry, they're nice, my dog's nice, that right there is like an automatic red flag. Cause whenever someone says that, I feel like nothing ever good happens after that.
Yeah.
This dog just freaking bull rushes Moose Man and just body slams him to the ground. Now, thankfully, he wasn't like, you know, growling and biting and stuff, but like I push him off, pick up Moose Man and like just start walking away. And it's just one of those things where I haven't done a pet peeve in a while, so I'm going to do it right now. One of my biggest pet peeves is these people, I think, sometimes see these TikTok videos and they see these people that have like 17 dogs, and they, you know, these huskies or these border collies or whatever they may be. And they're like so well-trained where they say something and like all the dogs listen, right? And we've seen these videos where like all the dogs are like standing at the door and they just call them out by name and the dogs just go one by one when their name is called. Some people, I think that is them. You are not that person. You do not have control like that over your dog. And so when you have your dogs unleashed, it's just a crazy thing because so many bad things can happen. So many bad things can happen. And it's just a big pet peeve of mine when I see owners just walking around with their dogs not on leashes. You're just rolling the dice for yourself, and then you're rolling your dice for like other people too, which is, for me, like that's where I kind of think like that's just like a selfish thing, is because something bad can happen to someone else because of what you're doing. I don't know. What are your thoughts on people not leashing their dogs?
I can't stand it. I mean, there is a very rare case where there's the dog with the old guy who spent his whole life training this thing and it listens to everything. And he's allowed to have his dog on the course because he does his little whistle and it comes right there and it sits down.
Mm-hmm.
Or he tells it to go get his whatever and it does that. And it's just a well-behaved, well-trained, super out of the ordinary dog.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. But that is such a rare case that even him having his dog off a leash makes everybody else think their dog is that cool. And then it creates bad habits. And I've been bit by a dog before, man. It is not pleasant. It's horrible. In a park. Yeah, a disc golf course. Somebody had their dog off a leash and it just came right up and just attacked me. It's a scary thing, man.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about disc golf courses, but it does actually happen quite a lot at disc golf courses. Me and Kelsey, we've taken Moose Man because he listens to us the best out of everyone. So we have taken him to like courses like at New London where super trafficked courses that are also kind of isolated as well. But we still have a leash with us. So if we do end up seeing someone walking ahead or a biker or something like that, we'll call him over and put him on a leash. So we don't just let him kind of run wild. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just always a scary thing when you see an unleashed dog charging at your dog. You just go into this crazy mode. I will say next time I'm not going to use my hand because after the fact, I was like, bro, if this dog would just like lit up my hand, because I put my right hand down there.
Oh, dang.
I was like, if I would have like lost a finger or something like crazy, like that would have sucked. So got to use my leg next time. Got to like just kind of straight to the chest. Get off me. But yeah. That was my crazy day today.
That is crazy. I'm teaching
some bulldogs.
My little Gracie, I'm teaching her to be a disc golf dog. I'm trying to take her to the course and like train her properly. I there's a course right by my house. It's really short and nobody ever plays it. So I'm able to take her there. I let her drag the leash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like right there. She's a puppy. So if she tries to run away,
you just grab it real quick.
Yeah. Like luckily she's not fast enough yet. Like little puppy's not getting away. Yeah. But yeah, dogs are fun, but you gotta be, it's like a kid. You gotta be responsible, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's talk a little bit. We saw some of your guys' Spotify raps. Some of you guys tweeted us your Spotify raps. We saw some on Instagram. So everyone that did that, thank you so much. It's always awesome. For those that have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, every year Spotify does this like end of the year thing for each of their users and also podcasts that are on Spotify. And it kind of shows you like what podcasts you listen to, what artists you listen to, how much time you spent listening to something, right? So it's kind of a cool way of just seeing how you used your time on Spotify. So I finally got it took me a while to figure this out, but I finally got access to our podcast, Yuli. And so I'm going to list off some things that we got for our tour life, Spotify Wrapped.
Okay.
And this is a shout out to everyone that was a part of this. This was very, very cool to finally do. So our podcast has been listened to in 39 total countries. That's pretty sweet. I don't know how many countries there are in the world. Silas, do you know that? Can you find that out, Silas, how many countries there are in the world? I want to say 212. Is that a crazy number? That's a crazy number. Maybe it's 138. What do you think, Yuli? What's your guess?
300.
That seems so high.
I think that's probably.
That seems so high.
The world's big.
195.
That was close.
That was close. Okay. Well, 195. Okay. So 40. We're about 40 out of 195. That's not too bad. Our top five countries: U.S., Sweden, Canada, Finland, and Norway. Those are our top five countries. So very North America /
That makes sense.
Scandinavia, right?
Yeah.
This was kind of crazy. I was not expecting this. We hit the charts in two countries which means like at one point in time, our podcast was amongst one of the most popular podcasts listened in that country. It got up to 30th. So we were the 30th most listened to podcast. I don't know. It didn't tell me what countries it were. I'm assuming it's gotta be maybe one of the Scandinavian countries would be my guess, but that's pretty cool. That was very cool to kind of see. I'm also, it's probably like maybe one of our podcasts with like Kristen Tatar, right? That one probably did really well out there. 9,532 of you guys listening right now, you guys had Tour Life in the top 10 of your podcasts.
Wow.
So
9,000 people.
Yeah. Almost 10,000 people. Tour Life was one of their top 10 podcasts they listened to. Top five podcasts, that was 7,452. And then the number one podcast, the amount of people that listened to Tour Life. And again, we kind of like weren't around all year. So we're a little handicapped, right? Because we didn't start at the beginning of the year. 2,130 people. We were the number one podcast. That's very really cool. So shout out to Yuli. Shout out to Silas. Shout out to all you guys listening. You guys make this happen every week. We appreciate that. And
it's incredible numbers.
Yeah, we look forward to next year, man. I can't wait. I'm gonna save these numbers somewhere so we can kind of compare them to maybe next year and see how it looks next year. But that was very, very cool. All right, let's talk about it. Biggest story, I think, that came out, and it was one that has kind of been under the radar for a while. We kind of just forgot about it. So I do want to kind of let everyone know exactly what's going on here if you kind of completely forgot like I did. But the lawsuit that was against the McCease LLC, so this is the Paul McBeth and Dylan Cease company, has been dismissed by a Florida judge. So AltiWorld reported earlier this week that the lawsuit has been dismissed without prejudice, which means it can still be refiled at some point. That's a key thing here to remember. Trevor Tonies, I believe is the name. He's the owner of a disc golf store in Florida. He filed a lawsuit a few months ago against the McCease LLC after getting hit by a disc during a tournament at the Grand Canyon course, which will actually be the host of the opening tournament for the Disc Golf Pro Tour next year. The judge did dismiss the lawsuit after Tony's failed to comply with a court order to provide responses to defense during discovery. So it sounds like, if I can kind of try to connect the dots here, what it sounds like is happening is this guy files the lawsuit, tries to think like, hey, I'm going to be able to make some money off of this. The disc golf community comes out and supports Paul, supports Dylan, and basically trashes this guy. And probably really hurts this guy's business because he does own a disc golf store. And so when it came to it, when it came to the point of where the judge was like, hey, he failed to comply with a court order to provide responses to defense during discovery. So it sounds like at the first moment when he needed to provide something, he was just like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to be involved in this anymore.
I'm surprised it took him so long, honestly. Because even when we did it in the beginning, we were like, okay, this seems like there's a lot of holes in this. And then it lasted till now. It's kind of crazy to me that he wouldn't, because he owns the business, that he wouldn't be like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, or like come out with a statement that says like, hey, I'm actually dropping this lawsuit.
Yeah, front of it. But I mean,
yeah. Now it has been dismissed, but like I said before, it was without prejudice, which I actually had to look up because I didn't really know exactly what the terminology for that was. And that means it can be refiled.
Yeah.
So if he does decide, hey, I found this new information or I have this that I want to provide, he can bring it to them. But I think that was a no-brainer situation. I think also, if this somehow would have gone through in his favor, this would have set a really bad precedent for disc golf of where now it's like, if you go to a tournament and you get hit by a disc, like that's, we don't want that to have happen. If you go to a tournament, whether you're playing in it or watching it, it is on you to kind of be aware of your surroundings and to know kind of what's going on.
Yeah,
and
you're putting yourself in that situation for sure.
Yeah, and if something really bad happens, like it's a terrible, terrible situation, but I don't think we should be going after the people that are like trying to provide entertainment for you. I don't think anyone's intent. Now, obviously,
it's going to help your business, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's intentional, now that's a whole completely different story. But yeah. Like if someone throws a bad shot and it hits you, it is what it is. All right. So with this in mind, actually, this tournament that's going to be held at the Grand Canyon course, it was going to be called the Florida Open. However, big news, big announcement, and potentially one of the biggest, no numbers have been talked about, but maybe one of the biggest sponsorships outside of disc golf, chess.com came in and says, we want to be the title sponsor. We are now calling this the chess.com Invitational presented by Discraft. So the Florida Open will now be that tournament in Brooksville, Florida. The beginning, we didn't get too much information on what the partnership looks like, but what we did get is a pretty interesting screenshot here. And I'll say this, I better see this guy on at the tournament. I want this guy there. I want this guy there. Did not look like a chess piece. Hard to make a person look like a chess piece.
No, I was not thinking chess piece either. That's a pawn. But now I understand. If I just saw that guy, I'd be like, what is this? Yeah, alien I'm, guy?
I'm hoping they have some sort of like setup with all these people and chess pieces. That would be absolutely hilarious. But yeah. I did a little digging on chess.com because I've never heard of it before. I'm not super into chess. I'm terrible at it, by the way. But from what I gathered, it sounds like this company kind of blew up during the COVID.
Yeah.
Time, which makes a lot of sense, right? People aren't able to go outside. They're trying to find something to do. They start playing chess online. So it sounds like they kind of have blown up and now they're just like throwing money all over the place for marketing. There was like, there was multiple things that people are like, I've seen them marketing at this. I've seen them marketing in that. So this is great. This is awesome. Sweet. Big sponsorship.
I love chess. Chess is sweet. I haven't played in a long time, but I used to play when I was a kid. So
yeah. So we'll see. Again, I want to see that guy out there. I got to see
out there.
I got to see the chess piece.
Bring him out there.
All right. Before we start the podcast, Disc Golf Network, they know, man. They know when to post stuff. They're like, Tour Smart. Life is going live tonight. Let's post this right before so Tour Life can talk about it. So we appreciate Disc Golf Network and the Disc Golf Pro Tour for always giving us the breaking news, if you will. So they announced that the DGN will be undergoing a complete kind of overhaul and is now will be the DGN 2.0. Some of the major, topics from this or, points to discuss. We've been with Vimeo. That's what the DGN has been working with. Vimeo has been like YouTube's kind of competitor for a while. And so they're leaving Vimeo OTT and they're going to a new platform hosted by Incise VT on Amazon Web Services, also known as AWS, Advanced Tier Services Partner. When asked, Jeff Spring commented, looking to the 2024 season and beyond, we're thrilled to take our next big step forward by collaborating with Incise VT and AWS to bring a refreshed look and feel to the Disc Golf Network platform and begin developing new and improved features for subscribers. He continued on by saying, as the Disc Golf Network enters its fifth year of service, we've recognized the need to evolve our platform to better serve an ever-growing disc golf audience. Collaborating with Incise VT and AWS represents a proactive step towards addressing subscriber needs, particularly in maintaining streaming quality while managing large influxes of live viewers and ensuring the stability of platform performance over time. We're enthusiastic about the potential this change holds for future developments and immediate improvements to the platform, and we can't wait for the start of the 2024 season. Okay, so what's new, right? That was all kind of like really nice PR stuff, but let's get down to the nuts and bolts. What are we going to be expecting as consumers of disc golf, live disc golf? So content is going to be easier, more easily to navigate. That I think was a big problem on their website, big problem on the app. People never knew where to find stuff. Yeah. How do I get to it? Where am I going? So they're going to have additional menu options. They'll also have new bookmark features. So they're going to make it easier for the customer to find the videos they want.
My favorite part.
Great.
Is coming up.
Subscribers can now pause and rewind live broadcasts. So if you're like, hey, I have to go to the bathroom. If you're watching it on your TV and you're like, I have to go to the bathroom. I want to like be able to just like pause and wait and fast forward through the commercials to catch back up. That's how I watch sports, right? Like if I ever have to do something while I'm watching sports, I pause and then I just fast forward through the commercials and get caught right back up. They're back. They are back. They had it at one point. They took it away. I don't know why. They're back, Yuli. This is huge. This is probably the best thing that the Disc Golf Network has ever done.
Ever. Just hit a pause button. That's all I ever wanted.
So nice. The other really nice feature too is now after the live broadcasts, they're going to almost instantaneously offer a rewatch. So before you kind of had to wait, like if you wanted to go back and rewatch it, but the broadcast had already ended, you kind of had to wait this, unknown time for it to finally do that. They're now saying that's going to be almost instantaneous. Once the broadcast ends, you can pop back in and rewatch. That is also great for the subscriber.
Yeah, I've always, after it was done, tried to rewind and check some things out. Couldn't do it,
but now you can. Mm-hmm. Things to look forward to. The big thing I would say out of all the stuff they listed was they're going to be going from 30 frames per second to 60 frames per second. What does that mean? That just means it's going to be a smoother, better quality. Yeah.
Here's what I'm wondering though. Since they're running it at higher frames.
Yep.
What happens when it's bad service still?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous by that. They did Isn't not they really. Worse? Yes. Silas, you can jump on and this is your expertise. What are your thoughts on this?
So 60 frames a second is obviously a lot better because it's double the frames per second. So if the Pro Tour needs to slow anything down or anything like that, they're going to be able to do that. And it's going to look a lot smoother when they slow things down. It's going to be it'll be a little bit more of a bandwidth usage while they're transmitting from camera to studio, I would assume. But hopefully they have the infrastructure in place to kind of get this thing up and going. And I'm excited to see it.
Are they able to adjust that while, like, let's say the 60 frames per second, they get into some portion of the course where it's really bad?
Yeah.
Are they able to, on the fly, adjust that down to 30 and then boost it back up to 60?
Probably not. No.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So once you kind of start at 60, you're at 60.
Yeah, that's right.
60's going.
Yeah. So maybe not every tournament will be at 60, but Silas brings up a good point. I didn't even think about if you've ever have filmed something in 30 frames per second and then try to do like a slow-mo, it looks absolute trash.
Garbage.
So the 60 will make some of the slow motion replays and stuff look a little bit better as well, which will be very, very nice. Good things. I think all this leads to really positive stuff for those that are kind of like on the fence of, I don't know about the Disc Golf Network. I don't know if I want to be a subscriber. I think this is a good step forward of them saying, hey, we hear what you guys want. We hear your complaints and we're working to fix those. So I think this is all good stuff. Anything else on this, Yuli, you want to touch on, or we move on?
I think it's money. Yeah. The only thing that I was worried about is the places where it was kind of choppy. If it's at higher and they're using the same internet or something, I listen to what I'm saying. I make zero sense. I don't know anything about this stuff.
I'm definitely a little nervous about Champions Cup. That's for sure. Now being at Northwood. So We'll see.
Bad over at the other place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I will say what they can do is they can just, in the lower bandwidth areas, they can just bump it down to 30. And
They can do that.
They can change it from the start of the broadcast, so they can set it there, so they can even they can you know, if they have the higher bandwidth, they can go to 60, but if they have the lower bandwidth, they can change it to 30, just depending on where it's at,
where they're at.
Well, that's all good. Right. No, all right,
yeah. All right. So, I mean, it sounds like it's not going to be worse than what we experienced last year. And hopefully they are, you know, they started bringing in these, I don't know what those things are called, like the offsite internet things. I don't know what you call those things. Where they have like their own internet. They're like, you know what I'm talking about, Sass? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think you're referring to like an uplink van, a satellite uplink.
Yes.
Station?
Something like that. Yeah, they started doing that at some of these events, which I think is definitely helping versus having to tell everyone to get off their you know, cell phone service and whatnot. Yeah. So put your phones in airplane mode. That's
my internet's been garbage lately. My house.
Ooh. I still don't know why we have problems with internet. It feels like, I mean, we're in 2023. Everyone should have good internet by now. I don't know what's going on.
I agree.
Someone just said, you guys don't have to show us what bad video looks like right now, do you? I don't know what that means. Hopefully we don't look like we have bad video. All right.
We always look like we have bad video.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is. The people are just going to be blown away once we get it super crispy.
Yeah, that's, once we make it big, Brody, imagine the studios and the stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. All right, wild story of the week. This is turning into one of my favorite segments of Tour Life. The first story was a story that was brought up by on the off season. So the other podcast that we do here on Foundation, it goes like this. This is from a guy called The Other Bill. He said, guy was fooling around at 18 Steve at Heritage Park under the bridge and got his disc stuck. Like really stuck. They had eight or so guys try to get it out, but no luck. It hopefully stays there as a sword in the stone thing. So this is a local course to me in Dallas. I've played this course before. Sas, you've got the photo. It's like cinder blocks kind of fuel-y. And so what I think ended up happening is this guy was messing around with it and was able to slide the disc in. But then when he tried to pull it out, the rim got like lodged in to where it hooked. And so now, I mean, we have a photo of this guy that's literally like a rock climber, just holding on. He's off the ground completely holding on to this disc. I need confirmation. Anyone listening, can you guys let me know? This is at Heritage Park, this hole 18 under the bridge. Can anyone let me know if this disc is still there? Because that would be incredible if it was. And it's just like, it is like a sword in the stone thing. Like every time you go by, you give it a good pull to see if you can get it out. And if you don't, you just move on and the next guy tries.
I like that. And then somebody pulls it out and it's like the next king of the sport. Well, he's just some amateur and he's like, yes, I'm the guy. And then he just shanks on the next hole.
So there is a disc called the Excalibur. So I thought it would be funny to have us go there and shove an Excalibur in there and like actually film people trying to pull it out.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be great. Oh. But yeah, disc is stuck. That's kind of a crazy thing there. Next one is from a Reddit post where people were submitting their crazy stories on Reddit. This is from Mr. Noodle Incident. It's a little bit long, but it's definitely worth it. So here it goes. It goes, one time I approached the first tee and there were like 20 guys standing just past the tee in the fairway. Seemed like some sort of league getting organized. They see me approach and part the middle so I can throw. I'm not excellent and I have a large crowd and now I have a large crowd making me nervous. So I joke that they better move back more so I don't kill anyone. I get zero response to that. I knew it wasn't an actually funny joke, but usually people give a polite laugh. I say again, slightly more serious, but still with a smile, guys, for real, heads up just in case I miss. Still no response, very odd. So I cautiously take my shot, and fortunately it was actually quite good, and the entire group turned to watch the flight. I walked through the group and made some other silly joke about my shot, and for a third time received silence. That's when I see two guys in the back signing to each other, and I realize I'm doing crappy stand-up comedy to a group of deaf people.
Oh, no.
I also notice one guy in the way back with a stupid huge grin on his face that must have understood the situation and was enjoying me making a fool of myself.
That's good. That's a classic right there.
Oh,
that is hilarious. He's like,
yeah, guys, everyone move back. Move back. They're just like looking at him. Oh. At least he threw a good shot. Threw a good shot. Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. Other news here. GK Pro is going to New Zealand. They're going down under, baby. Do you have a good New Zealand Australian accent?
Hey, crikey.
No. Ah, cranky.
Oh, well, better than yours, I think.
G'day, mate. G'day,
there you
mate.
Go. There you go.
G'day, mate. All right, so the Tour Down Under is partnering with GK Pro next year to capture NPL League card action at the 46th New Zealand National Champs, the Bottle Lake Open, and the Paradise Plates, which is a sick name. Paradise Plates, I love that as a tournament name. I've never heard of the Tour Down Under, but this is their like about me. The Tour Down Under is here to modernize and supercharge disc golf in New Zealand. Our mission is to position New Zealand as an ideal off-season destination for international players and supercharge the growth of disc golf domestically through new levels of excitement and engagement with players and fans. With four events scheduled for January through February 2024, the Tour Down Under is bringing the game and those who love to play and watch it to new heights. That gets me fired up a little bit.
You going to New Zealand then?
No, I'm not.
How fired up are you?
Well, I mean, I'll probably tune into some of the coverage here because I'm very curious as to what the disc golf courses look like in New Zealand. New Zealand is a bucket list place for me to go. I haven't been, but I've heard it's incredible.
Sounds like you're going. New Zealand.
I'm not going to go to play disc golf, though. If my first time to New Zealand, I want to like do stuff. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to have to deal with playing a disc golf tournament, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. It's not live coverage, right? So people can kind of consume it when they want. They're also going to be doing OTB skins matches down there.
Cool.
So right now, confirmed players that are heading over, Juliana Korver, Sullivan Tipton, and Nate Perkins. They said as new guests or new people that they will announce as they come along. And then they're also going to be grouping them up with some of New Zealand's rising stars. So you'll get a little of like people that you may know already with some people that you probably have never heard of or never watched. So that could be really cool. I like this. I like this a lot. We need more stuff like this, right? Because the idea of like people in Asia, people in South America, the idea of them like getting up and like going to the United States to play on the Disc Golf Pro Tour is probably slim to none. That's like a huge jump. So having these like smaller tours, granted, this is literally just January to February. It's not even that long.
Okay.
I think having more of this stuff, I think is good. I think this is great.
100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love this. And I wish nothing but the best for the Tour Down Under and GK Pro. Hopefully that turns out to be some awesome tournaments and some great content for all of us to consume this off season. All right. Funny little thing I saw here on Facebook. So Paul McBeth went on some podcast to talk about sponsorships, or at least sponsorships were kind of brought up. And so he was kind of giving his intel, his information on like how sponsorships work and all this stuff. And someone posted in response to him going on there saying like, hey, should professional disc golfers, should their sponsorships with their manufacturers or whoever, should that be like public knowledge? Should that all be out for everyone to see and know. So this was, before we get into whether you agree with that or not, this I thought was a very funny comment. So this is from Aiden Scott, who I think might have, did he win Rookie of the Year or close to winning Rookie of the Year? I played with him at a couple tournaments.
No, I think Luke Taylor won.
Okay. I think he was in the running, though. He had a couple really, really good tournaments.
Either him or Aiden Scott, yeah.
Yeah, he had a couple really good tournaments. So this was his response to whether or not sponsorships should be like public knowledge. He goes, they should be made public because it can help upcoming players know how much they're worth in comparison and or where the money is at. So then someone asked him, okay, you're a pro. What does your contract look like? And then he responded with, unfortunately, I'm not legally allowed to tell you. Hey, everyone needs to say how much money they're making. All right. If you're a pro disc golfer, everyone needs to say how much money you're making. Okay, well, you start. How much money are you making? Oh, yeah, I can't tell you that.
Yeah, that's private.
So what are your thoughts on, like, making contracts public or not?
It's kind of impossible because your contract says how much. Like, sure, you could say the guarantee, but the guarantee really isn't your contract in most cases, right? Like, whatever your guarantee is probably very low on the spectrum.
Do you think the guarantee should be public?
Sure. But that's like very low. Like if I'm signing a contract,
let me rephrase that just because I want to make sure we're on the same page. I can right now look up every NFL player, NBA player's salary. Like I can see how much their guaranteed contracts are. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that should be like disc golf? Everyone should be able to look up right now every professional's contracts and how much they're getting paid. Not you have the ability to do so or not.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't mind that at all. But here's the thing with disc golf that I want people to understand. Whatever your guarantee is going to be, if you're smart, is going to be very low with a high ceiling. Like for most contracts, you'll get a guarantee, right? And then if you outperform the guarantee, you'll make more than whatever that guarantee is.
Wait, why would you... I feel like you would want the other way.
Yeah, but you don't know that till the end of the season. Like, you're not going to know how much you make until the end of the year. Like, I don't know how much I make until the end of the season because I don't know how much stuff I'm going to sell.
I know, but I'm saying my minimum can be public
knowledge, but that's not even close to what I make.
See, I'm saying, like, as a player, I want my guarantee to be high as possible. And then, like, the bonuses and stuff is, like, if I get them, great. But I want to be... Yeah,
I hear you, but I mean, unfortunately, that's not how you get paid in disc golf right now. You get paid in what you sell.
The majority of people do, for sure. And that's why I disagree with you. I don't think these sponsorships and stuff should be public knowledge. If you want to make it public with the company, if both of you decide, both parties decide, like, hey, this is something we want to let everyone know, I think that's fine. But I don't think it should be a requirement for everyone to say how much they're making. Now, I get his point. Him being an up-and-coming pro, it's way nicer for him to kind of see like how much everyone else is making to kind of fit in that spot. Now,
Why don't you think people should know what players make? Like, what's your reasoning behind that?
Because there's a difference between what we make on tour from prizes. Like, people can see that. People can go on and see I made 9,000 or 8,000, 7,000, whatever it was from prize money. I think that's fine. I think that is completely fine. But if I sign a sponsorship deal with some... some glove company, let's just say, I don't think I need to come out and publicly say, hey, this glove company is paying me this much money.
No, also, I'm talking about like your manufacturers, because like here's the thing in our sport that's like, we're at a spot where, where do I start here? Like, for example, however many years ago when Macbeth got his $10 million 10-year contract, that changed a lot of things. Having that public knowledge changed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, that got Ricky his deal, whether he wants to admit it or not. That got Simon his deal, whether he wants to admit it or not. Because then the ceiling was placed, and that's what a great player got paid. If that was never public knowledge, I truly believe that Ricky's contract would be lower and Simon's contract would be lower. I do not think they would have gotten those guarantees.
All right, let me throw this out at you. Because first off,
do you agree with that or no?
No, I agree. I think Discraft announcing the contract with Paul definitely increased a lot of players' contracts. However, I don't think that's a good thing long term.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people got overpaid
mm-hmm.
than what they're actually worth. But first off, I haven't been in a corporate job in a while, so maybe some people in chat can let me know. I don't think you're allowed to discuss or disclose how much a company is paying you in like the corporate world with your employees, like your coworkers. I could be wrong, but I don't think you are.
In some cases, yes, that is fact, but in most cases, no, that is 100%. It's you can. In rare cases, it is, but...
Oh, okay.
Like, depends on what corporate world you're talking about, too. Like, if you're talking about, like...
I'm having different people say stuff in the chat. Some people are saying it's the opposite. Some people are saying it's correct. So I'm not quite sure.
There are cases, but for the most part, most of the time you can tell people what you make.
This guy says my company does not allow that. So maybe, yeah. Okay. So maybe some do and some don't. Some are saying it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon in disc golf too. The guy said that he's legally not allowed to say it, which,
It's
probably true.
Yeah, no, you can put stuff.
Reason why. The company mm-hmm. doesn't want anybody to know.
Yeah, yeah.
They would be smart not to let anybody know.
Now, here's what I'll say with that, though. This is where it can get bad, right? The grass is always greener on the other side, right? Like the thought of, if I sign a contract that I'm happy with, right? I'm obviously happy with it if I'm willing to sign it. So let's just say I sign a contract for $10,000 and I'm super, super happy.
Yeah.
And then I come to find out someone that is also sponsored by that same company that I'm better than. Like, I'm just like, I'm better than this person. They're making $20,000. They're making twice as much as me. Now, all of a sudden, that puts a really weird spot of where I was in a happy spot. And now because I've gotten this knowledge, I'm not in a happy spot. I think it's on the players. If you really want to like get the most value out of you, get the value that you think you deserve, you should hire an agent because one, agents are really good for this reason. They can see, if they have a good clientele, they can see what everyone is making. So they have a good idea of what everyone is at. And they can let you know, like, hey, that you're not going to be able to make this, or this isn't realistic, right? That is what agents are for. Now, if you want to like represent yourself and go for it, you can just screw yourself over, because if you think you're worth $20,000 and no other manufacturer thinks you're worth $20,000, you're not getting signed by anyone.
Yeah.
So that's where I think it is kind of a weird thing. What is the benefit for the public knowing, I guess, would be my question.
Well, I think it comes down to ceiling. I think people should know the biggest ones. I think it's good for the sport right now because it's so small. That's what I think. I don't think people would care about how much I make. If I put that out there, nobody would really care. I'm probably a upper higher echelon, but I'm nowhere near $1 million a year. You know what I'm saying? So right now, I think that's where I stand with it. It's important to know what the, how much the most, or how much the best players or the biggest contracts are. Because, like, for example, it was pretty tough when you're going through the airport, you meet some person, you're chatting it up, they're, you know, let's say they're an important person. And they're like, oh, disc golf, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, well, how much did they make? And then let's say you don't know, and you're just guessing, and you're like, I don't know, like $100,000 a year. It's kind of a joke. But now I'm able to say, well, our top athletes are getting paid like $1 million, $1 million a year.
Yeah.
And then it gives it a good look. Without that, I don't think we'd be in the same place. And therefore, right now, as we sit, it's important.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple posts that I saw today where they listed some of the top, like the top 10 or top 8 F1 drivers and what they made on their guaranteed and their bonuses. And then they also, I think, posted the top 10 women athletes and what they made. And, you know, I think that obviously is very, very cool. But a lot of that stuff, like when they tell you, you know, they made this much plus sponsorships, like you don't know what is paying them what, right? Like everything is lumped in. So I think that could work for you, Yuli. Like if you made $20,000 on tour last year in earnings, right? And then let's say all your other sponsorships that you have, because you have a bunch of other sponsors. You don't have just Discraft. You're sponsored by a bunch of stuff. So if you said, hey, last year I made $120,000, right? $20,000 in tour winnings and then $100,000 in sponsorships. Now I don't know exactly how much Discraft's paying you. I don't know how much Bushnell's paying you. I don't know how much Zuka. Yeah. I don't know the individual, but I can see the grand picture. I think that makes sense. But for most people, they're only sponsored by one company. Yeah. And so that's where it's like, it's a little tough. I don't see the super benefit to, I don't see the benefit for the public knowing it. I see the benefit for players knowing it and trying to figure out what their market value is. But like I said, like if you want to try to get your market value, hire someone that you think can fight for you and go out and get that for you. Like that's what you should do. I think it's a little lazy to be like, hey, this person is making that much. I need to be making that much.
Yeah. That's pretty funny though, that, well, not funny. I was just thinking about that Aiden Scott situation. Yeah, I can't tell you. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't think it would really necessarily change the perception for a lot of people either, though. Like, I think we are kind of getting out of that realm of like disc golfers don't make money, right? So the idea of like, oh wow, like that person made $250,000 last year, like holy smokes. I don't think people are going to be like, well, I'm not going to buy any of their disc anymore because they don't need me to. Like if you're fans of someone and you like someone, you're going to buy their disc whether they're making $10,000 on tour or $250,000. I've never been influenced on purchases with individuals based off of like how much they make. I've never thought like that person's making enough money. I don't need to support them.
Yeah. Like, at that point, it becomes like a jealous reason not to support them.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, oh, no, they have enough money. I ain't buying this, even though I'm kind of a fan. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's like a little weird because.
Yeah. I just see, just to kind of wrap it up, I see more negatives, I guess, coming from making it public versus the way it currently is.
I agree that there are some spots where, like I said, who cares what I make, but I do care what the top guys make.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Because it gives everybody an idea of what's possible. There's got to be something for me to work towards. Like if I see them having $1 million, I'm like, well, what am I worth?
Yeah. And I think that's a, from us looking in, that's a clear a clear indicator on whether or not someone's getting paid an absorbent amount of money, right? So if Eagle leaves Dismania and gets picked up by Innova, and Innova doesn't announce how much she's getting paid, it's probably because it's not near what Ricky or Paul are getting paid, right? But if they're going to say, hey, we actually signed Eagle to a 3-year, $4.5 million dollar deal, like, they're probably going to announce that, because that looks good for Innova. Yep. Like, holy, and that's overall kind of, I still don't know if that's great for the sport, though, because there is such a vast difference in, like, just because you're number four in the world and you're, and this guy's number five, like, I don't think it's, your contract should be like, you know, there's too much,
I know. And that's why I said right now, I think it's good because we're still growing so fast, and we're like, if we were an established sport, then everybody would know everything. Nobody would care. You would just know, okay, these guys get millions, those guys get millions, and it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, once you get to millions, it doesn't matter. Okay, Ricky Fowler made $8 million last year, and Scottie Scheffler made $38 million. Scottie Scheffler's better, but $8 million's pretty dang good. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but I think some people, you don't know how much they make on sponsorships, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's any information on, like, how much Scottie Scheffler is making on sponsorships.
Well, in certain sports there is, like when Nike signs LeBron to a deal, like they,
but again, like that's a massive deal. Yeah. Like, yeah. But do you know how much, like, can we find out how much Nike is paying, one of their female tennis players?
Well, that's my point. Having the top guys and knowing what they get paid is important. Probably more for the company, but it also sets a standard that eventually is going to get broken by somebody.
Yeah. It's just, I see some negative with, you know, some jealousy and players being like, I want what they get. And then all of a sudden it gets real nasty real quick. So, but we'll see what happens.
Dude, if people knew how much I made, I would have no friends.
Yeah. You wouldn't even be on this podcast. All right, let's talk some player movement. We're talking sponsorships already, so great little segue here. Let's. Did you guys talk about the Connor O'Reilly leaving Latitude 64 last week? If not, we can talk about it now. So Connor O'Reilly,
he put his new hat on the show.
Oh, I didn't see his interview.
He announced it on the
show. On the show? He breaking did. News?
Yeah, breaking news. Oh,
that's freaking good. Was that our first ever breaking news announcement?
Yes.
Did he have multiple hats?
No, he just had it on backwards, and then he just flipped her around.
Oh, heck yeah. Dude, bonus points for Connor. That is freaking sick.
Yeah.
All right, I will say I'll give you one quote. Hopefully you didn't talk about this. This was his quote. He says, Texas boy. Texas made this straight out of the USA. They made me feel so at home. I love that.
I like that a lot.
I love that. So yeah, Connor O'Reilly is headed to Lone Star from Latitude. He signed a 1-year deal. Andrew Presnell. Andrew Presnell also extends his 1-year deal with Discraft. This is now going to be his 6th season on Discraft. He made a post that says, for the 2024 season, I'll be back representing Discraft on the tour team again. This will be my 6th season with Discraft. He's coming off his probably biggest win of his career, winning on tour.
For sure.
And we got a puppy sighting.
Yeah, Miss Gracie. He's a good one. He's a real one.
Look at that little puppers.
He's trying to chew on that.
I messed up the cord.
No.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. Chewing electronics. No bueno. All right. A little bit of a cryptic post here from Nico LoCastro. Nico LoCastro posts on Instagram a photo of him signing. Now, Silas, were you able to enhance this document?
Yeah, let's see what...
Can you enhance this document for us here, Silas? Can we get any sort of words?
What I want to do is enhance the background and the reflection to see who's taking this photo, because it might
unfortunately,
be
unfortunately, unfortunately not.
We don't have the technology of enhancing here. I just wanted to be, like one of those CSI guys that's just like enhance, enhance, enhance. And just like You can just see someone's face perfectly. Okay, so I did reach out to him, though, and I said, would you like to make any comments on your recent post? And he said, all I can say is it's not about the mushroom gummies. We have any idea what that means?
Is
that like a gateway reference?
I don't know.
It's no, so about... in the picture to the left, there is a bag of mushroom gummies.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Oh, okay. So everyone was thinking that it was like him signing on to some sort of like non-manufacturer company or non-disc manufacturing company. Okay. He said that was in the comments a few times. I do have some exciting news to share with the disc golf community. I am the worst detective of all time. I'm sorry. I'm not a good detective. I'm sorry.
That's so funny because randomly I called him yesterday or the day before. I was just thinking about him. So I called him and I do it like once a year, twice a year. I'll call him and we'll chat it up, talk about old times and stuff. And he didn't call me back. So this actually makes sense. He probably thinks that I was calling him to get a little info out of there because I didn't even see this post.
Yeah, so
he's probably like, "Oh, Yuli's trying to get one."
I mean, he's leaving Lone Star, right? Like that's like if you had a bet on it, that's where the money's going here. Is he's leaving Lone Star?
If I had to bet on it, I would say that he's leaving Lone Star only because I've heard rumors that everybody's leaving Lone Star. So
cleaning house.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard that that's exactly what they were doing. It's cleaning house.
They probably had to remove everyone to pay for Connor O'Reilly.
Big contract.
Yeah,
see, if we only knew how much money that was.
He can't tell us, but it's probably nine figures at least. Any speculation on where he might end up?
Nico?
If he is end up leaving? Yeah.
I have no clue.
I feel like it might be like one of those.
Didn't they have a line for him? Like a whole Nico line?
No.
They didn't?
I don't think so.
That's what I heard. It was going to be like a line and everything. And if.
Oh, that might have been like in talks at the beginning, but I don't remember him coming out with anything.
Oh, I got a call from Nico right now.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I'm getting a call.
Is he watching?
I don't know. Let me see.
Oh, heck yeah. Let him know he's live. Let him know he's live.
I'm going to mute you guys real quick.
Oh, you can't mute us, Yuli. He's got to let him know he's live.
All right, you're live. I can't hear you, though. Hello? Are you just calling me back? You're not watching the show?
Oh, I thought you were calling in.
I knew it. No, this is so weird, dude. So I'm on tour life right now. And we were talking about your contract and we were speculating on what it was. And I was like, I called him the other day, I think it was yesterday, and he didn't call me back. And I usually call him a couple times a year or whatever. And as I say that, you call me on the phone. That's what he said. You texted him, but, I got to get back to this show. So you're seriously not watching this show. This was just randomly you calling me back at this exact time. All right. I'll call you back.
Coincidence. Wow.
How crazy is that?
What the heck? No intel though. Didn't
he just
say
told
anything?
Me the same thing. He said, it's not about the mushroom gummies. He told me to call him back after the show.
Okay. I could see him ending up at like a Clash thought space, something like that kind of sounds. I would be a little shocked if he like went with like an Innova. Like that would be a little bit surprising to me.
He's been on every team.
I know. Yeah, I don't know.
I would think he might be signing an extension or something. I don't know. Why do you think that he's leaving? Like, what?
Why do you? Why do you make that post?
Maybe he's got a sweet new sponsor.
Oh, like it's not even a diss thing?
Yeah.
I don't think you make that post, though. That post is like, you make that post to get people talking about where you possibly are going. Yeah. You don't make that post.
What about MVP?
You don't make that post to say like, hey, I just signed with a random energy bar company that no one has ever heard of that just is a startup. You don't make that post for that. Please do not make that post for that. MVP, that would be dark horse.
Like a crazy idea.
I don't know. I feel like a cryptic post like that where you're getting people talking, buzzing. It doesn't feel like it's an extension with Lone Star, and it doesn't feel like it's a non-disc manufacturing thing.
Yeah.
It feels like it's something big, which would be him moving to somewhere else.
How weird is it that he just called me as I was talking about calling him?
Is that like the weird, like, when you sent someone that's like thinking about you?
Yeah. That's so weird.
That doesn't really ever happen for me. This kind of reminds me a little bit. I don't know if you're following golf right now, but John Rahm is like the big speculation of potentially going to live
800 million.
And I'm refusing. Like, obviously I want to like have an idea of like, Hey man, what's going on? Hey, you can tell me, I won't tell anyone.
Yeah.
But like, I'm refusing to text him.
I feel like you owe it to the pod to tell him to come on and reveal it on here.
Oh, okay. I do want to have him on the podcast at some point. So maybe once the announcement goes out, then maybe that would be a good time.
It would be cool to talk about contracts.
Could you imagine if we got him to come on and break the news that he's going to live, if that was what ended up happening?
He would make so much money that he would make us millions. Like, he'd literally make us millions just in the one clip announcing.
If he tweeted out, hey guys, going on tour life tonight to tell you guys what's going on, we would have thousands of people in here.
Yeah.
Thousands. Oh my gosh. That would be incredible. Oh, that'd be so funny. All right. So sticking with the rumor trend, we got a little bit of a rumor, I guess you could say, by our number one rumor source, Hunter Thomas. He tweeted out saying, we just got a few Eagle stamp discs from Discmania that we haven't had the opportunity to order before. I've seen the stamps, but don't remember them ever being on our shelves. My suspicion, I think this is a sign Eagle is gone and they're clearing their shelves. So this is a little bit like behind the curtain. Retailers don't have access to every disc sold by manufacturers. Manufacturers can decide, hey, this is just going to be an in-house. We're just going to sell this on our website. No, or we're going to sell this in like in-person tournaments. We're not going to sell this to retailers. Or they can decide, hey, we're going to sell this to everyone. Now, we have kind of have seen this in the past. This is kind of an indicator when someone is potentially leaving. We all sign contracts through the end of December going into the new year. So if Eagle's contract right now is up at the end of this month, so if you are Discmania and you know that he is not going to be with Discmania any longer, you have this portion of time to sell his stuff. In most people's contracts, it should be to where as soon as you sign with someone else, they can no longer sell your discs.
Yeah.
Anything with your name, likeness, anything like that, it's over. So if you have 10,000 Eagle, whatever, Cloudbreakers sitting on your shelves, if those don't sell, now, can other retailers sell those? Yes. Like Foundation, we have stuff from people that haven't been sponsored by them for 2 years sitting on our shelves. Manufacturers cannot do that though. So anything to look into this, Yuli? I mean, is this the clear sign to you that he's leaving Discmania?
It's not a clear sign, but I mean, here's the thing you got to think about. I remember listening to a podcast somewhere or interview with Simon when he left. And he said it wasn't, he just needed a new like outlook on disc golf. Like he needed new motivation. He said it wasn't about the money. And he said that they might've offered him like something very similar to the contract that he had already gotten. It was about moving away. That means that they have money. If they're able to offer Simon however much money that he got to move, that means they have cash floating around somewhere. So I don't know. I don't know why they would clean house of their next superstar unless he's going somewhere who's going to pay him an insane amount of money.
I'll say this, though. If Dismania believes Eagle's value to them is $500,000, his value to another company is probably like $700,000, right? Moving, if you've been with a company for a while, and then you up and move to a new company, your value is higher at that new company than if you stayed.
Yes.
So if a new company is willing to pay that, so that might be what's happening is like, they might be like, and that might be what happened kind of with Simon too, a little bit, even though it did kind of sound like they were willing to match what MVP was offering, but that could be happening here of where they have like this idea of like, hey, we're willing to pay this for you. But someone else is like, hey, that's a bright, shiny new thing. If we get Eagle Destroyers on the shelves, or if we get Eagle Enforcers, or I don't know if Discraft is going to pick them up, but Eagle Nukes, like those things which would sell very, very well the first year, right? So
yeah,
I could see that. Question for you now. What's more of a... Oh, gosh. Dogger Cat.
Yeah, more technical problems. That's all we need.
What is more of a telling sign that someone is going to be leaving? If the manufacturer starts trying to offload their discs, right? They're really just trying to get retailers to buy their discs. The person themselves is offloading their discs. So they're in Facebook groups. Oh, we haven't had the balloons in a while. The person themselves is offloading discs. So they're in Facebook groups saying, hey, I've got all these discs. Buy them. Tell me your price. Or three, they join some like collector group that isn't their current sponsor.
I think them selling off their own discs or doing giveaways with their own discs or something like is probably the most telling sign. Because you get attached to your discs, honestly. I don't want anybody touching my stuff.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right. So we'll keep an eye out to see if Eagle all of a sudden just starts saying, hey, I've got all these. I don't even know what he is. He putt with PDs? Is that what the putter is? P2s?
P2s, I think.
P2s? Yeah. He starts saying, like, hey, I have a stack of P2s. Does anyone want them? We'll know. Yeah. All right. This week in Foundation Disc Golf, what has been going down? Silas, I want to give you the floor here a little bit because I don't know if you guys talked about this last week. I don't think you did. But Silas actually put together a pretty cool production piece called The Story, Foundation Disc Golf. It's on his YouTube channel. But if you YouTube search The Story, Foundation Disc Golf, it will pop up. Silas, you want to talk a little bit about what this what this project was and what was like the inspiration, I guess, to do it.
Yeah, sure. So primarily it started out as a project just for school. I'm finishing up school right now. That's kind of like my capstone project was to create a video piece that I could show and be really proud of. And so I thought, what better way to do that than the place I work, Foundation Disc Golf, and, you know, give the audience and give the people a story of how Foundation started, where it's at, where it's headed. And yeah, I think it turned out really good. I'm really proud of it. And, yeah, you can go check it out on YouTube. I just posted it on there just to, honestly, that's how we submit our videos in our class.
Oh, cool.
So, but yeah, now it's like got tons of views, which I'm very grateful for. So thank you all who watched it. I really hope everybody enjoys it, and yeah, check it out if you haven't and you want to support Foundation.
Yeah. Really cool kind of, backstory of how Foundation has kind of gone through a bunch of different iterations throughout the year. So definitely go check that out. Again, it's called The Story Foundation Disc Golf, and it's on YouTube.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's very, very well done. Hunter's final break 68 video, his 12th attempt to try to break 68, try to shoot under par at New London. I think at this point, I'm hoping everyone that was going to watch it has already watched it. If you haven't yet, just tap the 15-second skip thing. Or if you're watching live right now, mute for 15 seconds. So that way, no spoilers go out. I'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He didn't do it. 12 attempts. Never could break 68 at New London. I want to see it be brought back. It sounds like next year Trevor is going to do his own break challenge. But yeah, not going to happen. Also,
what's a good score out there?
Like 4 under is really, really good.
Which is, what's the number?
So that'd be 64. He was just trying to break par 68.
Oh,
so he was just trying to shoot under par
and he never did it.
No, he got close a couple times, but the last stretch is like really, really tough. So like he has to be under par pretty much going into like probably hole 16.
Nice.
So yeah, it's tough. Trevor and Hunter are doing their annual putting bracket. So you get to pick what putters they have to use for the entire 2024 year. It looks like Trevor is already done. He's got a putt with the Candy. For all you people saying that I rigged it when I said to vote for the Roach over the Blue Bonnet, here's the thing, guys. I saw what Lone Star was doing. You had people in Lone Star, like the actual company. You had professional Lone Star people. You had, I think, the dog that was sponsored. I think he had a Twitter account, and he was telling people to go vote for the Blue Bonnet. You can't say that I rigged the vote when all of you Lone Star people are telling everyone you know to go vote. It's not a rig. I just wanted to see the world burn a little bit. I knew it wasn't probably going to beat the Candy, so I didn't even actually post about it in the finals, and the Candy won. So there you go. Trevor's got a putt with the Candy all year. I think Hunter's right now in the final four. He's got the Banger GT, the P2, the Pure, and the Envy. I really want him to see having to putt with the Banger GT all year. That would be awesome. That's got to be the worst one out of those four to putt with.
Banger.
To putt with, though, Yuli?
That would be terrible.
Right?
That would be absolutely brutal, dude.
Yeah, I don't think that would be great.
So staple.
A couple listener questions now. First one, we've got a three-parter here. The first part goes, why do people jump putt inside of 50 feet? If you need to, you're bad at putting.
What? You need to jump putt from 50 feet, you're bad at putting?
Yeah, I'll say this. If you watch like basketball players shoot like a three-pointer, they don't shoot it like a free throw. They jump. They jump. They use their lower body because it makes it easier. Jump putting makes putting easier for a majority of people.
Yeah.
So I don't think it necessarily makes you bad at it. I think you're just utilizing a technique that makes it easier for you.
If you get a step put down from 34 feet, it's the most dangerous weapon you can have in disc golf. Let me tell you what.
Yeah. Cause you're no longer putting from 34 feet. You're putting from like 30 feet. 29 feet.
Yeah.
So he did ask why not just remove jump putting. Now this is something that is like talked about a lot, is like, should we expand circle one? You know, should circle one actually be all the way out to 60 feet?
I thought it was going to happen like last season. I thought it was going to happen this season.
Yeah.
I literally switched my putt because I feel like it's eventually going to go away.
Me too.
I really do. I think it's going to be outside circle two you can jump putt. And I've switched my entire form and trying not to jump at all from inside circle two right now because I feel like it's going to be a tough transition for a lot of players. And if you start now, by the time that hits, you might have a pretty big advantage.
Yeah, I'm still jump putting from inside of circle two a little bit, but I'm definitely not. I used to step putt like inside of 40 feet. I'm not doing that anymore because I'm with you. Like I feel like at any moment they can just be like, all right, circle one's expanded to 45 mm-hmm. feet. And it's like, I don't want to mm-hmm. be in a weird spot.
That's a tough thing to change, to mm-hmm. go from jump putting everything to now you're just standing there from 40 feet. It's an awkward feeling.
Very, very strange. All right. This comes from my caddy, actually, and a local coach up in the MVP, Maple Hill, rather, area. This is from Chris Dierkins. Hopefully I pronounced your last name correctly. He wants to know, when will real caddies become the norm? Real as in not the ceremonial guest spots we see a lot of now. While I truly enjoy being a caddy, I'm just not there as arm candy. Hey! Oh, sorry. Can you answer that, Yuli?
No. Yeah. So to answer that, I have a full-time caddy who's with me on tour, Brad Hammack, who is amazing. And the fact that other people don't have full-time caddies is probably because it's kind of expensive, like to have an extra employee out there with you every single week can be pretty dang expensive. And it's not extremely lucrative to that person too, if I'm playing bad. So for example, I'll tell you how much I pay Brad. Can I do that? Is that public knowledge?
No. You can do whatever you want.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't care.
I pay Brad like between $5,000 and $1,000 a week that he's out on tour with me, plus bonuses, plus I give him like 3 meals and places to stay, of course, because he's staying with me. Mm-hmm. And then a bonus structure of 10% plus a bonus structure on top of that of whatever the like if I win a major, like he gets a crazy amount of money. If I win a pro tour, he gets a crazy amount of money. I try to incentivize him to make sure that my life is easy because that's what his job is. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, then he's not going to put in as much work. He is the best caddy ever, by the way. He is amazing, beyond amazing. He's made my, if I didn't have Brad, I might have not have gone on tour the last couple of years. Honestly, my game was so bad. But he made my life easier. And he was like, he's my buddy. So he's in the corner being like, no, Paul, you're good. Like, we're close. He's like one of those guys. Eventually, in disc golf, you're going to need somebody like that. Everybody's going to need somebody like that, I think. I think it also looks silly, personally, if you're carrying your own bag. I think that's silly. I did it for a very long time. And now I feel like going into the direction of they give caddy bibs out for a reason. Like have an assistant there with you. Some people say, no, I carry my own bag because I don't want anybody caddying for me. And like, that means that you just don't have a caddy. Like somebody that you pick up on the weekend, that's a dangerous game you're playing. It's a dangerous game because
I do it every tournament.
It's a dangerous game because you could get somebody that you clash with just personality wise, mm-hmm. and it can take you out of the groove that could mean a stroke here and a stroke there.
I think in that scenario though, it does. I would say it evens out. Like I've actually been really lucky because I've kept a lot of the caddies. I would say almost like 95% of the caddies, because I started doing this 2 seasons ago. So this past season was the second time. And I want to say like 95% of the people that caddied for me 2 seasons ago caddied for me again this season. So a majority of the time, I'm very fortunate having like an awesome person. I would say the only difference between most of them is like, sometimes it's just like, hey, just carry my bag, let's talk, like, just, you know, talk whatever we want, sports, whatever in between. I'm good on strategy stuff. But then there are some people that I will listen to them and I will ask them questions like, hey, what do you see here? What do you think? So it kind of just depends. But yeah, the situation you have is the ideal situation, is having someone that you trust with you at every tournament.
Yeah, but the thing is it's expensive.
It is. And it's so, probably too expensive for most of the people.
It's too expensive for me, but I feel like if I somehow can make enough in my earnings to pay Brad, then it's worth it for me because I'm getting out there. My life is just easier. Doing the schedule that you and I have is crazy, right? Like, people don't really understand the schedule that we keep on tour. Because I would say you're pretty similar to the same schedule as me.
Yeah, it's West Coast living too. I had to wake up at 4 o'clock this morning for a meeting.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
aside from the fact that I do commentary every single night.
Yeah, the commentary too is just a wild one. That's wild, actually. Yeah.
So having my buddy there who takes care of this, who does little chores here or there, make sure that I'm on time, wakes up, has coffee, does all that stuff. Like, it's a lifesaver, man. It really is.
Yeah. No.
He's the best.
100%. 100%. This is from Clayton. He wants to know from all of us, what is our favorite type of pizza? You can be as specific as you want.
Plain Jane pepperoni. It's my favorite.
All right. Silas?
I'm going just cheese, like just a good cheese pizza.
I didn't know anybody could get more boring than me, and then bam, Silas came in. So with the
like there's nothing wrong with a good cheese pizza.
That's true. Hey, what happened with our race to best Thanksgiving dishes?
Yeah, I think you won.
Yeah, and
I don't think you should.
Why didn't we bring it up, guys? Yeah, because
I don't think you should have won that. That was bull crap.
I put the your worst list was item trash. Ever, and then
yeah, you literally had the worst item. Just because you picked mashed potatoes, I think everyone's like, "Oh, we gotta pick Yuli." People were coming after me for picking mac and cheese, being like, "That's not a Thanksgiving." I'm like, I don't want to go to your Thanksgiving ridiculous. If you don't have mac and cheese. What the heck is wrong with
Brody? I'm just kidding.
I'll go with this. I would say this is probably like. Because I think is there a difference between favorite and the one that you would eat all the time?
I feel like the one you eat all the time, that should be your favorite.
Yeah.
See, because I feel like a stuffed crust pepperoni pizza is really freaking good. I just don't know if I could go that heavy every single time.
Yeah.
But if I haven't had a stuffed crust pizza, it's so good to just eat it, and you get to the crust at the end, and it's like a mozzarella stick. Awesome.
Sometimes I'm feeling crazy, and I'll do like spinach, tomato, pepperoni.
Never.
That's what I'll
never.
Do. But my favorite pizza is if I go to a new place, especially, and I don't know what they're doing with their pizza or how it's coming out, I go pepperoni every time because it's just tough to beat it.
You'll never see a pizza that I eat that has vegetables on it. Never. Mm-hmm. Nope. Will never happen.
Tomatoes. Actually, is that fruit?
I think some people claim that is a fruit.
No onions? Think...
No, Silas, what the heck? Silas, that might be the worst vegetable.
Oh my God.
Other than the...
I know, but a lot of people like onions on their pizza.
I eat onions on my pizza.
Olives might be the worst.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Artichokes are disgusting as well.
Yeah.
I hate artichokes too because it's so hard to find them in the cheese.
Yeah.
So
here's something that you'll never see me eat ever. Mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't like mushrooms on pizza either.
Yeah.
No, I don't like mushrooms ever. They sneak into my food. They're a little sneaky.
No, suckers. you can if you go to like a nice restaurant, they like saute them into like some sort of dish. Then I can kind of like get away with it, but I'm never wanting to add mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I don't know how people I don't know how people eat mushroom, like dry mushrooms in salads. I don't know how people do that. That is tough. All right. Will there be a point where the team/brand actually matters versus it essentially just being a branded independent contractor? Every company calls their signed athletes a team, but it doesn't feel like it is. So this is kind of going back to the question of, do you think disc golf will ever go into the realm similar to Formula One, where Red Bull has two drivers? Both those drivers are competing against each other, but at the end of the day, they are on the same team. Like, Red Bull wants both of them to do well.
Yeah.
So do we ever think that is going to happen, of where there is something where at the end of the year, if Discraft, let's say, is the number one team at the end of the year, we all get a piece of that. So there is something to where it's like, we do kind of want Discraft to be Innova.
I've always thought a tournament would be super sweet, like a match play tournament, manufacturer match play. And you take like your elite team and then you go play a big tournament and they put up a bunch of money and then you battle to see who has the best team and who has the best stuff. That would be freaking awesome. That would be must watch TV.
Yeah, I think people would really like watching that. I don't think having it one time event, I don't think you would get like what you would if it was a full season of where, you know, where the points race throughout the entire season. But I think you're right. I think it would be pretty entertaining for most people.
Yeah, you take the eight best players from each team, come up with your eight best, take them out there.
Eight seems a little high.
I was thinking just MPO.
MPO. And FPO?
Yeah.
Like combined? So 4-4?
Yeah, or 6-3 or 5-3 or something.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that could work. I was just thinking like 8 MPO. I was like, some of these companies, that would be brutal.
Yeah.
Their eighth person's pretty far down the list, you know?
But you could do it. You could like find your eighth person. That's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Sign someone better.
Yeah, if you can.
Pick up Nico. He's on the board.
Well, not anymore. He signed something. Hopefully you'll give
us intel
on that. Give some intel on that later. All right. Housekeeping. Monthly subscription boxes this year, folks. This month. This is the last one for 2023. I was told I can't say much about them, but Hunter did say I can tell you guys that there are going to be special edition Discraft discs spread throughout. So once these monthly subscription boxes...
And some Eagle stuff.
Yeah, a lot of Eagle stuff too. Once these monthly subscription boxes are done, like once they're sold out, they're sold out. So make sure you go to foundationdisc.com. Pick those up. Shout out to some of our new Tour Life crew members. We got Mike J. Disc Golf, Kicking Goat 556. I think there was one more I saw. Drew TN. Thank you guys for joining the Tour Life crew. Appreciate it. I will be doing a live Q&A sometime this month. So stay on the lookout for that. You also have all of your discount codes. That is on the YouTube community page. So all of our Tour Life crew members, thank you. I'm working right now with Hunter on merch that will be coming out. I'm not sure exactly, TBD, but I will say right now there's a hoodie that I really like. There's a t-shirt that I really like. There's a hat that I kind of like. That's what we're at right now. So stay on all of our socials for that, for updates. Review Spotify. You're at 784. We got 784 reviews on Spotify. They are still dominating all you Apple listeners at 207. So again, this is the race to 1,000. Who can we get 1,000 reviews on first, Apple or Spotify? If you haven't yet, go over there, drop us a review. We really, really appreciate that. Silas loves reading those reviews before he goes to sleep every night. We are currently closing in, Yuli, on the 5K giveaway on Instagram. So, Silas, if you can throw that photo up again so people can see what is up for grabs for the 5K giveaway. If you haven't yet, make sure you follow Instagram.com/tourlife_podcast. That is tourlife_podcast on Instagram. We have just eclipsed, I think, 4,100 followers over there. So if you're listening right now and you haven't followed us on Instagram, definitely do that. We have two discs. It's the OG Yin and Yang Dark Horse Nuke. And then I believe that was a... Was that a Raptor for you, Yuli? I can't remember what that was. A Raptor. A very sparkly jawbreaker plastic Raptor. So make sure you guys are checking that out.
The Jawbreaker
Flex. Well, the Jawbreaker Flex. And if you guys are listening to us live right now, or maybe you're listening to us later on YouTube, let's hit the like button. Let's get the algorithm going. Let's get YouTube liking our stuff. Apparently, YouTube didn't like us at the beginning of this podcast. Me and Yuli just talked for like 30 minutes to ourselves, which was fine. It was a nice little catch-up sesh. But yeah, let's drop a like on the video. That helps us out a lot on YouTube, and make sure you're subscribed as well. Yuli, you had something to promote.
I believe. Yeah. Well, thanks for the balloons too.
Yes. Very celebration.
I have a few discs that just came out on the Discraft website. I have the Get Out of Jail Free SS Avenger.
Ooh.
Which is my favorite disc. It is a very understable disc, obviously. And I kind of want that. You need one. So
I'm gonna text Heinold right now. I want that.
Okay, good. So you can go on there and get that. But also on my Vlogmas, man, I got a lot of giveaways going on right now. One that's going on from the video that I promoted last night, which was when I went to the putting league. I'm giving 5 putters away. And the way that you qualify for that, go watch it, and then just go to the Discraft website, go to the team, and purchase any item, any single item. Doesn't matter who it is. It can be Brody. It can be myself. It could be Paige. And either give – a lot of people on Instagram are saying, okay, I purchased something, but I can't upload the photo. Don't worry, just hit me with a confirmation number, and then you'll be entered in that giveaway. Give them 5 of those putters away. So,
oh, heck yeah. For me.
Yeah.
Yuli Institute, too. Did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, we're doing a pretty big push right now, end of the season, to get some more donations into the Yuliberry Leadership Foundation, which is, you know, I don't talk about it as much as I should on here, but I should talk about it more. It's basically, we're just raising money to get collegiate athletes who play disc golf some scholarships to maintain, you know, some maintain their way to be in school.
Love it.
Thanks for pulling that up.
Yeah. So check it. What's the website, Silas? WDIP. Oh, super easy. Yuli.foundation. Go check that out. Silas, do you have anything to promote?
No.
Graduation?
Oh, yeah. I got a final pro. My final paper is due tomorrow at 9:00. And then I got my Bachelor's of Science in Video Production degree. So, yeah.
Are you walking?
They don't do a walk in December. So I'd have to walk in May, but yeah, I might do that. I don't know yet. We'll see.
Okay.
Nice. Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's throw some congrats. Let's get some congrats in the chat for Silas. Let's freaking go. Very, very, very nice. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. I think we're all done here. Great, great pod, everyone. It was fun to catch up with everyone again. Thanks to everyone in the chat, as always. Thanks to all our listeners. We appreciate you all very, very much. And we'll see you guys next week.
We When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.